Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 24 of True Believers. Chris is way too excited to talk about Men in Black this week.
I am. Because when I call my favorite director, Barry Sonnenfeld, the director of the most socially relevant comic book movies, people always look at me confused and crazy because his last name isn't, I don't know, Snyder, Whedon, Russo. But the Men in Black series really are the most relevant comic book movies. They're based loosely on the Men in Black comic book series by Lowell Cunningham and Sandy Carruthers. The Men in Black films are about a secret intelligence organization that conceals and polices extraterrestrial activity on Earth. They are not a figment of your imagination, and they are not the best kept secrets in the universe. Everyone and their mother has both seen them and likes them. And if you don't, I get what you mean. They're the least polarizing and most well-loved films adapted from comic books, period.
Period. I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, what if I just cut everything Christian said? I don't know what's wrong with me, but I was like, that would be really fun.
You're sick. You're sick. Okay, we're talking about the first Men in Black movie now. Okay, so picture this. We're at the border. People are trying to get into the United States. Border Patrol is there, being a-holes like they usually are. And don't forget, we're trying to make this as PG-13 as possible because my mother is listening. Agent K, Agent D, they appear out of nowhere. They round up all these people, start speaking Spanish. I'm not quite there yet. Can't repeat what they said. One guy doesn't understand any Spanish. He's just sitting there not. And guess what he was, Andrew?
He was an alien. You know what was really funny, though?
We heard what Demi Lovato said.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's disrespectful to the extraterrestrials. My bad. But what was funny is that they didn't like put translation at the bottom in Spanish, but they do for the extraterrestrials, you know?
They didn't put it in Spanish. They had the English translation, but like if they were speaking Spanish, you should probably have both.
Well, I didn't even have the translation. The one I watched didn't have the English translation, but like it translated everything in alien or extraterrestrial. That was like, okay. So I don't even know what they said at the beginning. I was with the other guy just sitting there confused as hell.
Oh, the Agent K was like, he was like, don't worry, ma'am. Welcome to the United States. And then he was like, oh, you don't even speak Spanish, do you? You can't even fake it. And the guy's just sitting there like, and then he was like, okay. And then they were like, oh, y'all can go. Welcome to the United States. He acted up. The guy, he was like, you're not clear to come into this part of the country. What are you doing? Anyway, case in point, guy gets the drop on them, gets the drop on Agent D, almost gets the Border Patrol guys, which would that have been a loss? And the Agent K subdues him. And they have this big emotional moment where Agent D is like, oh, I'm getting too old for this. He's like, you know, they really are beautiful. The stars, you never look up anymore. And then I was like, oh man, he said something. When he's talking about how he's ready to get out of the game, he wants to be neuralized. And he's like, you know, I'll miss the chase. And Agent K says, no, you won't.
Yeah. It's very like sentimental just from the beginning. Right.
Because we know nothing about these men.
Yeah. Right. You don't need, like, you just met them literally 3 minutes to get into the movie, but yeah, I haven't seen these movies in so long, but they're like, they still age so well. Like a lot of movies from the 90s don't, you know what I mean? But
it's because Barry Sonnenfeld is that dude. When it comes to directing a movie, he gonna do it. That's why Adam's Family Values, Get Shorty, period.
Yeah, he did that. There was like everything aged well. There was no offensive jokes, which is something that doesn't happen a lot of times.
Yeah, the plot is so disgusting. First, Will Smith, like, I always forget he was so young and beautiful. I mean, he's not unhandsome now, but like Will Smith in the year I was born is different in the year Will Smith in the year where I'm turning 25 in a couple days. Like, that's different Will Smith. He was like something. He chases this guy who's like a giant squid or something. I kind of zoned out during that part. But he chases him all up and through New York in the freshest of threads.
Oh my God. The 90s style in this movie.
And his little earring.
Good. Yes. I was living for it.
And the other cops, they were.
This is pre Jada. That's why.
Shut up. No, And so the other cops, they couldn't follow up this dude. He has a whole little tussle with this guy. He ends up being vaporized. And then he's in, like, not interrogation, but questioning, because they're like, you're saying, okay, Edwards, you're saying that this man, like, disintegrated. He had a gun that disintegrated. He's saying all this stuff so calmly. But he's so disrespectful with it. He's like, yeah, and I did. What?
And oh, my God. Like, that's when he says, like, the funniest officers. Thing. Yeah. About he's the other like, officers.
He's like, how come the other officers going with you? And he was like, I don't know. But and then he calls one of them like a big bastard.
Yes. And he started insulting like the bigger ones. And then the disrespectful one next to him was also a bigger one. And I cannot remember what the joke was, but it was so good. He says you something about you treat me like I'm half the man. You're half the man that I am. And Will Smith says, I am half the man. I was like, get him.
That was so disrespectful for no reason.
Listen, I mean, that man was starting it first. Yeah.
So you know what? This was a good lesson from my real dad, Will Smith. When they go low, you take it right down to the floor with them and you limbo in that hole. Cause that's what he did.
I know. And then the fat one leaves the office or whatever. And Will says something along the lines of, you need to go on a treadmill instead. That might be better for you.
He didn't have to. Damn. Like, that was so rude. And
he was already leaving.
It came so out of pocket, and I don't know. And then that's when they intro Agent K, because Agent K, the medical examiner lady, Laurel, she's like, Laurel Weaver, I'm with the morgue. I believe you. Come and see me down in such and such street. And then Agent K comes in. He neuralizes everybody. He's like, Flash, Flash, Flash. Hey, Edwards, come with me. And he's like, what? And so he starts taking him on a little mini alien tour of the city. He takes him to go see Jeeves, who is played by Tony Shalhoub, a.k.a. Mr. Minion from Spy Kids, a.k.a. Mr. Monk from Monk. Jeeves is this piece of crap guy who owns a pawn shop. Turns out he's an alien. K shoots off his head. He's selling guns.
He said that like with such calmness. Turns out he's an alien. We shoot off his head. He's been selling guns. He sells Rolexes to humans, you know, the off-brand Rolies.
And Will said, yeah. And Edwards at this point. He's like, and I'm going to be back to see about the Rolexes too. And I was like, sir, you just saw his head get shot off and he grew back.
And my thing was, he just had a regular gun and he still was like trying to act like he was something, you know, but like clearly.
He was
going to
shoot Kay because he pulled his gun on Kay. He's like, you're under arrest. Put your hands up. I was like, he's dedicated to that good police work for her. And Kay is like, listen. And he's like, you come in tomorrow. Well, he neuralizes him. And he's like, they're in the middle of some kind of long joke. I don't understand what Kay is even doing. Like, he's like, hey, Edwards, you know, if you want to, you know, hang with the big dogs, you meet me here tomorrow. Jay comes in with such a weird attitude. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm coming in. I just need to know. Like, I was like, what was the...
And again, the 90s sense of style when he walked in there again was so good. Like,
he's killing it.
Will was dripping this whole time.
Period. Even when it comes to the Men in Black suits, which do look cheap, but they were tailored down nice.
And they even had the 90s, like, how the sleeves were slightly too long, and I loved it.
And the glasses.
Yes, and he was like, see, the difference between me and you in a suit is I look better
in a suit.
I make this
look good.
It was amazing. I think I just skipped a few moments.
Oh, and he's there with all these other military guys. Oh, we're not even talking about the plot. He's there with all these other military guys. And they're all like, the point he's actually doing doesn't matter. But the thing that separates Jay from the rest of them is that he's able to think outside the box. He asks questions. He doesn't just follow orders, do what he's told. Like, there's a scene where they're all doing target practice and they all just fire off at these aliens. Jay lets off one shot at the end. And when questioned, he's like, this guy is just working out. This guy has the code. Like, this guy's not doing anything. But this little white girl in the middle of the hood.
At 10 p.m. at night.
Her quantum physics books. She's trying to start something. And I was like, period. Because I feel like the point of these movies is all about convincing people to subvert their own expectations, to not go after the easy answer, to think more and to consider that we are not the only people in the universe, like not just in an alien's way, but in like a don't be so self-centered, like think way.
Yeah. And there's a lot of moments too where it was like, and don't be racist type of way. A lot of moments like that. Which
period, because there's this point where he almost steps on a bug and he's like, can't do it. And then the bug is like, thanks, dude.
That's in the second movie.
Oh, it was. Sorry. Yeah,
that's after Kay
Okay. We didn't even explain the plot of this movie. Okay. Yeah, so, we're not doing it. So I've never liked Vincent D'Onofrio, and I've never understood why. But it's because when I was a small child, I saw this movie, and this guy was berating his wife, this guy named Edgar, and he's like, the only thing that works around here is my truck. And then the truck gets hit by a spaceship, and he's like, figures. He goes out and gets possessed by a giant bug. And
they don't show you the bug at this point. You're just like, you're led to believe like this is some big monstrous thing, even though he explains it as a giant cockroach. But I did not, like, the first time I seen it, I did not underestimate or expect it to be so gross.
Me too. I thought that Kay was joking. I thought he was joking because he outright says, like, he's like, oh, dang, please don't turn green. Please don't turn green. Oh, it's a bug. And then he's like, oh, it's like a something, something foot cockroach. And I was like, what? I thought it was exaggeration. I thought it was some other kind. I didn't know. When he popped up, he was really a bug at the end. Oh, also, Edgar takes them on a twist and turns. They meet up with the medical examiner lady again. They neuralize her a couple times. And Jay is like, hey, you ever flashy thing me? You ever hit me with the flashy thing?
He's lying. He's like, how many times did you neuralize L over there, Laurel, lady, or like, whatever her name was?
She's a doctor. You can't be scrambling her brain. Yes. Give her cancer. He's like, you good.
He's like, nah, I've done this before. It's fine. And he's like, how many times you did this?
Have you ever done this to me? Okay.
Honestly, though, that was the real time to be asking that question. Have you ever done this to me? Because honestly, I'd be kind of offended if you did it to me. You know what I mean?
And he's done to him at least twice.
At least twice, but he doesn't got to know that part. I know, but the whole plot of this movie is chasing down this bug. I know. I can't wait to watch movie three. I've never seen the new one, and so I can't wait to watch the newest one. Yeah.
I got to be honest. A lot of stuff that we're going to talk about in Men in Black 2, which is really Agent K's trauma. A lot of people don't like Men in Black International, but it's like, to understand Men in Black International, I think you have to have a firm grasp of Men in Black 2, and it's not very popular. So the Bugs plan was that he had to get this little galaxy that was on a cat's necklace.
Orion's belt.
So yeah, galaxy is on Orion's belt. And I was like, I was a little kid, but you know, I always wanted to be an astronaut. So I was like, Orion's belt is like 3 stars. That don't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I thought it too. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, Orion's belt. I'm so dumb. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I forgot that the cat's name was Orion. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? So it's a clever little thing that they do, though, with Orion's belt. Because if you don't know, you don't know, you know?
Oh, also, when Agent K is talking about how the Men in Black got founded, this is pretty much the whole plot of the movie. He's like, March 2nd, 1969, the Men in Black was formed. Like, it was a joke. But you know who didn't think it was a joke? The aliens who reached out to us. So March 2nd, 1969, there were 9 of us out there. 7 agents, 1 astronomer, and 1 dumb kid on his way to a date. And it's like, we don't even learn until most of the way towards the movie. When we see Kay, they have a system that watches and monitors people, aliens or extraterrestrials on Earth. And he's watching this random woman in her garden. He was like, you were the kid, huh? He was like, yeah, it was. I was crying.
I know. So the whole this whole movie, though, is so okay. Like, first of all, it's really funny still. Like, it has not stopped being funny throughout the years, which is, like I said, really hard to do for a 90s film. And it has so many little life lessons in such a funny way. It's such a good movie.
And the music still is so beautiful.
The music. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. But at the end of the movie, they obviously kill the bug thing. He's disgusting. He is literally like 6 foot tall of cockroaches. It is disgusting. I hate it. And then Laurel, right? That's her name?
Yeah.
Laurel becomes Agent L. Which was pretty cool. I was so excited to see Laurel, like, or Agent L in the second one, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but the sad thing is Agent K is like, I haven't been training a partner. I've been training a replacement. But he has this whole beautiful moment, which is so sentimental because, you know, obviously it's Tommy Lee Jones. Like, we're from Texas. We love Tommy Lee. So he's like, oh God, the stars, I never look up, but they are so beautiful.
Yes. It's like a little flashback back to the beginning.
And then he says, see you around, kid.
Or a callback.
And Jay says, no, you won't. I was like, ah, why would you do this to me? And then Agent L, and, you know, we see Agent L and Jay at the end, you know, living their best Men in Black life. And then Jay is like, oh, we got some aliens who, oh no, L is like, oh, we got some aliens who want tickets to XYZ basketball team's game. And then she's like, oh, how are we gonna swing that? And she's like, oh, I'm just gonna call Dennis Rodman. He's from that planet. And then she's like, really? That's not even a good disguise. I was like,
I know, I forgot all about that. And I was like, why'd y'all just drag him so hard for no reason? And what did Dennis Rodman ever do?
Other than be weird. I think Dennis Rodman is funny.
I think he's funny as fuck, honestly.
We explain that movie so horribly, so I hope everybody loves it. First of all, aliens.
If you don't love this movie, you need to go see it because you are wrong.
See a therapist, honestly, because you got some kind of deep-seated problem. Celebrity aliens on the screen. We got Al Roker, Isaac Mizrahi. Al Roker is a weatherman. Isaac Mizrahi is the designer. Danny DeVito. We have Barry Sonnenfeld, the director. Barry Sonnenfeld's daughter, Chloe Sonnenfeld. Sylvester Stallone, Dionne Warwick, Newt Gingrich. Ew. Anthony Robbins, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, who produced this movie, apparently. Elvis. Well, we know Elvis is the alien, and Dennis Rodman and Oprah, just from mentioning, but we also see Michael Jackson and Martha Stewart in number two. And
which is hilarious. They do such a good job of like the low-key things with all the celebrities, like you just said, is so funny. Like Dennis Rodman being an alien or Oprah being an alien. It is so funny. Oprah
from Chicago.
Well, that's where she just landed.
Maybe landed in Chicago.
It's so funny. Like, honestly, whoever did this was genius for what they did. They knew exactly what they were doing.
And it's so stupid. Apparently, they really wanted to put Michael Jackson in there, but Michael Jackson was like, hell no. Like, he didn't think that, like, being asked was amusing. And so he was like, no. But then he saw Men in Black, and apparently he was, like, crying. I think Barry Sonnenfeld said he was, like, crying in theater. And he was like, dude, it's a comedy. Yeah. And Michael Jackson was like, yeah, I want to be a Men in Black, too.
That's hilarious. I'm glad they didn't do like the obvious joke of trying to make Michael an alien, you know, like they took it a much better way. Was he an alien? I thought he was just Michael being Michael.
No. In Men in Black 2. Oh, well, let's talk about the Men in Black song and then I'll get into Men in Black 2 for you. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll get back to Michael. The theme song for the movie. These movies have really great theme songs, except for Men in Black International. Men in Black 3's is questionable. Like, it's a good enough song, but it's by Pitbull. And I was kind of pissed because I was like, I thought Will Smith was going to come back to rapping for Men in Black because I like the Men in Black songs.
I really like them.
The Men in Black songs are so funny. The Men in Black, actually, if you get me drunk enough, I'll go to karaoke, and I that's my one trick. I like amaze people with the fact that I know all the words to this song. But they're like James Bond songs because they tell you the whole plot, like, of the movie pretty much, or like different parts of the movie and really interesting.
They tell you at least all the key points of it. Yeah,
like, even what is it, blah blah blah, he's like, now, from the deepest of the darkest of night on the horizon, bright light enters sight, tight camera zoom on the impending doom. But then, like, boom, black suits fill the room up with the quickness, talk with the witnesses, hypnotizer, neuralizer, vivid memories turn into fantasies. Ain't no MIBs, can I please? Okay. But the part that's really funny about this just is that he says, like, you know what I mean? I see my noisy cricket get wicked on you. Well, your first, last, and only line of defense against the worst scum of the universe. And the tagline for this movie is actually protecting the earth from the scum of the universe. And the noisy cricket is that little teeny tiny pea shooter gun that Kay gives him at the beginning of the movie. It's the noisy cricket. So that was just funny. And they're the songs, they bop.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to forget that Will Smith is actually a really good rapper and he makes really good music other than just the Fresh Prince theme song, you know. Like, his music is so good. It's corny, but
it's only corny because Will Smith came up in the era of gangster rap.
And he's not a serious person. I mean, he is sometimes, but his music is mostly for fun, you know? So it's fun.
He's just trying to have some summertime. Parents just don't understand. You know, he's just letting... I think actually...
Oh my God, the one where he steals the Porsche. Is that the song you were just singing? Oh, I love that song.
No. Well, yeah, actually...
Yes, I love that song so much.
No, one of my favorite songs of his is the song he made for his son for Trey, the Just the Two of Us song. I was like, oh.
I don't know if I know that one off the top
of my head. He remixed Just the Two of Us. And then he's talking about us.
That one?
Yeah. Let's not get sued, though.
That's why we stopped singing.
I already did a little bit too much. Notice how I started feeling, I was like, I thought it was so beautiful. And then he has a song for Jada, and even the music video is beautiful. But I do believe they should both stop doing interviews about their relationship. save the rest. Like, I don't want to read any more of that on Twitter ever again.
I do just because it's funny. Sorry, Will Smith, love you. If you ever love listen you, to Jada, this. Too. Love you, Jada. Love
Set It Off. Good morning, Sunshine, you know.
Speaking of people who also do good music, Jada Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, her metal stuff?
Yes. Like,
yeah.
She did that.
Oh, we need to be talking about Men in Black.
We can come back to that.
Okay, no, so we can. Okay, so Men in Black 2. You ready?
Men in Black 2. Okay, like you said, this one is not as well known, but this is, I love this movie so much better than the first one even. I think it is so
because good. It's not disgusting.
I mean, it is. It no still has like all the lot of splatters and, you know, whatever.
Like, but goop is different from a giant cockroach. And yeah. Then when he pulled his face back in the first one, I've never recovered from that. I don't like Vincent D'Onofrio to this day because of that. If I could not meet him, I don't want to. Like, if I had to work with him, it would be polite, but I don't want to be static. I don't want to be quiet. I don't want to be in the same room with him because I'm scared he's going to pull his face off.
He did that role just a little bit too well. You
too
know?
Good. Too good.
Could have taken it back a bit. But Men in Black 2, go ahead.
Back in Black tagline. I just had to say that because I thought it was so funny. So the whole plot of this is that we got Agent J pretty close to becoming a senior agent at Men in Black. He's running things down in the office. He's deeply unhappy. Like, part of being in Men in Black, you know, they straight don't exist. No names, no fingerprints. Like, James Darrell Edwards III is gone. He has no life outside of the office. He doesn't have any romantic relationships. He can't keep a partner because he keeps neuralizing them. Like, Patrick Warburton at the beginning, he makes some kind of mistake. There's a giant worm in the subway. And he's like, you took me to this. They're at the pie diner restaurant they always go to. He's like, you took me to this place because it's a public place and you think I won't make a scene? And he's like, you are making a scene.
No, he starts crying and it's like, you're going to do it. It's like
you're going to do it. He's like, listen, you want to be a hero and being Men in Black isn't, he's like, it's not, that's not what this is.
And then he did the sneakiest shit. He's like, you remember whenever we first became partners and then we were eating, what were we eating that day? And then he's like, that was 5 months ago in the morning, right?
He was like, February 6th. Then he was like, oh, like 5 months. He's like, yeah, 5 months, 3 days. And he was like, probably like, what, 12 hours?
Yeah, that shit was sneaky. And then he was like, all right, look, and just neuralizes him. But also the neuralizers got like a little bit more high tech in the past 5 years since the first one, you know? I love
it. I like that. I like that the technology is constantly changing in Men in Black, because even in the third one, it looks smooth. But then when you see in the third one also, when you see that prototype, you'd be like, eeh.
I know. I cannot wait to see that. I love Men in Black so much.
Men in Black 3, that if you look at the neuralizer, we got to talk about this in depth then, but it does look like it'll give you cancer.
Yeah, we have to go back.
Sorry.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know what it looks like off the top of my head.
The whole point of the movie is that they've got this thing. It's like history's mysteries, unsolved mysteries, history's mysteries type thing, where they start talking about the Men in Blacks, like how they don't exist. And this is one of those stories that never happened. And they're like, oh, the Light of Zartha, the Zarthans, and then Serlina, who's the evil alien. The graphics were so bad.
And they kept saying, like, this is a reenactment. This is not actual aliens. And it was so funny. Like, again, one of these jokes.
We know these are not. But I don't know. They start. Then we see Rosario Dawson. She was so young and beautiful. Like, she's still pretty. But, like, she looks so fresh-faced. Like, she's so pretty. I was like, oh, my God.
You know she's one of my favorites. And I forgot that she was in this. And I saw her. And I was like, that's my girl, Rosario.
What's funny, though, have you noticed that, like, both of the love interests in Men in Black 1 and 2, they both have L names?
What was Rosario's name in this? I don't remember.
Her name is Laura.
Laura. Okay, Laura. Yeah, I didn't remember.
So they pick up her boss. She works at a pizzeria. And so she goes out to go get some sodas from the basement. She comes back in and this alien lady named Serlina, who is a giant plant monster disguised as an incredibly pale supermodel, is holding her boss up. Oh, also Johnny Knoxville from Jackass is
in, sidekick.
He's a two-headed... Yeah, it's nasty.
But she did look like really pale. I was thinking that the whole movie. I was like, this would have been the perfect girl for Twilight, honestly. She could have been in there real easy. You know what I mean?
Are you saying she could have been? What's the mom's name? Esme?
Renesmee. No, it's the baby.
No, Esme, the mom. Yeah.
resume.
Receipt paper, man. is the daughter.
Yeah. What does she do? Resuscitation. That? What kind of name is that? Resuscitation. Resuscitation colon.
It's like when you don't know anybody with a combination name, like dad's name is, I don't know.
I'm thinking John, more of like
mom's name is Felicia, and then the daughter's name is like Jalisha.
No, I was thinking more of like, why did Stephanie Myers do that?
I'm saying there's a precedent. She
could have done a better one. That's what I'm like. Yeah. That shit's ugly. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry for that.
It's really horrible. But so she sees this man get whipped in half to death by a giant plant monster, and she hides from Johnny Knoxville from Jackass under the counter. He has two heads, and she barely just crouched down.
Oh my god, you know what it looked like? It looked like you know how in Venom, whenever Venom would come out to talk to Tom Hardy, that's what his two heads look like. God. I just, whoa.
I've been trying to think of what I thought of it for like that's what the it past looks like. 10 hours. Because I was looking at like, what do I think? What am I thinking when I see this? First of all, I'm thinking, I heard Johnny Knoxville is now sober. So I'm thinking, I'm happy for him. But outside of that, I was thinking, this is disgusting. So this man gets whipped in half. It was like a big rubber suit, and then a light dissipated. So I was like, dang, she didn't extinguish your light.
Literally. And then then they go to investigate it, you know, like Will Smith and his new partner named Frank, who's a dog, an alien Frank disguised as a dog. Yeah. It's beautiful. And then Frank makes one of the best jokes.
He's just a dog alien.
I thought he was just disguised as a dog. But I mean, it doesn't really matter. He's like an alien. A dog alien.
Because he's attracted to dogs. If he's not, he's kind of a freak.
That's what I was thinking the whole time, because he makes a lot of comments about like a Great Dane with a great body and everything. I was like, bro, you are a pug. Like, what are you doing?
First of all, listen, if he think he can handle all that body, you know, I can't even.
Ew, it's not the same when it's a dog. Oh my god. Okay, I have to tell you a side story after this. But anyway, so now.
So they're like, okay, Serlina is here. The light is Zartha, blah, blah, blah. And then Zed, who's the head of MIB, he's like, Jay is like, who's, he's like, I have my best agent, you know, the Zarthans wanted to hide their light here. I was like, no, it's against protocol, so we can't. And then Jay is like, okay. And he's like, yeah, so I have my best agent on. And then Jay is like, who was your best agent? And he's like, oh, he's not available. And then he was like, oh, who was it? Is he dead? Nah, retired. And he's like, where can I find him? And he was like, oh no, he says, is he dead? He said, close,
he works in the post office. And he goes, oh, we know who that is.
And the funniest part about this, though, is that they have an implication in this movie that everybody who works at the post office is an alien. I don't know if I ever told you this, but both my maternal grandparents and my paternal grandfather, all postal employees. And my aunt, my nana worked there. So I was like, oh my god.
Oof. It's not even an implication. They straight up said it.
They're like, almost everybody who works at the post office is alien. And then one of the aliens is freaking Biz Markie.
I know. Oh, also, Nick Cannon was in this movie right before this,
Nick
too.
Nick Cannon was supposed to take over the franchise from Will Smith, but like Men in Black 2 underperformed. And people don't like this movie, even though it's really funny. But like Nick Cannon, like, and when we talk about Men in Black International, we have to talk about how I like Chris Hemsworth, and I think him and Tessa Thompson have really good chemistry or whatever, but I really think they should have just let Nick Cannon take over the franchise because he would have killed it. Back on Men in Black 2, though. So they go to Truro, Massachusetts, and Kay is the postmaster. So in like, what, 5 years, he's become the postmaster of Truro, Mass. He's ruling this post office with an iron fist. Like, he's mm-hmm. making sure the line is clear, orderly. He's talking to the people. He's nice, polite, cordial. Jay is like, I need your help. I'm from a secret organization. Kay is like, the free mental health clinic is down the road. Somebody spills coffee in the back room. He is getting this spill cleaned up with military precision. And Jay is like, everybody who works here is alien. He starts beatboxing.
That was so funny. Oh my god. Because that's how he speaks to the alien in the alien language. And it's just Will Smith beatboxing with this other guy.
It's Biz Markie!
Yes! Oh, it's so funny. Like, it was so good how they did that. I was dying a little bit.
Like, it's so funny. And it just comes out of nowhere because I was like, why are you doing this? And then he's like, okay, so I'm going to take you to MIB. We're going to get you deneuralized. Oh, wait, no. First, Kay has the nerve to say something crazy to... Jay has the nerve to say something crazy to Kay. He's like, He's like, that's why your wife left you. K cold clocked him. He got cold clocked by an old man. Like, straight it was up. Too fast for me to see. It was like, pop! I was like, hey,
And he deserved it. You know, like, he really you can't did. Just say things like that.
You earned that one. And he was like, I know why you look up at the stars. I was like, and then I was like, they played that sad music. And I was like, ugh. The first time I watched every Men in Black movie, I cried. Now I'm a little numb inside. But like every single one, I cried.
Yeah. So they spend this whole movie because Kay is the only one who knows where the light of Zaruthian or whatever Zartha. It is. Zartha.
And he's neuralized yeah. himself like in the past. So he doesn't know where it is.
But he leaves clues for himself. So that way it's like everywhere he goes, he's retracing footsteps and like clues and whatever.
And,
it's
and like, they go back to this pizza parlor and it clearly Laura and Jay are falling in love.
I mean, it's Rosario Dawson and Will Smith. Like, it's understandable.
They you look know, so I beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And again, the drip, the early 2000s drip is there.
Yeah, she had that feathered hair. I was like, come on.
Yes, the bangs, the bang.
One thing about Rosario, she's going to keep a bang. But they end up at the video store. Oh, so they go to this locker in Central Park. And there's all these rats in there who like worship. And then he's like, oh, my watch. Like, I've been looking for this watch. So he puts the watch on and they're like, no, the timepiece. So Jay puts his, oh, they have a whole city in Kay's locker in the train station or whatever. And so Jay puts his watch in and they start singing, they start worshiping Jay now. They're like, oh, Jay, can you see? And they start singing all these songs like they were doing for Kay. And then Kay's like, before he leaves, he closes the door and he like opens it again. He's like, hey. He's like, what else? And they're like, oh, wait, the sacred text. Take it. We have learned much from it. Take it so that others may learn our ways. And they're like, be kind, rewind. It's a card, a membership card from a video store. And they're like, be kind, rewind. Like, you know, take. They're getting so much from this. They're like, reflect, you know, and this is 2-for-1 on Wednesday. And then they said on the sacred day, give twice as much to our neighbor as we receive. And then large adult entertainment section in the back. And they zoom to the back of the locker and it says like sex girls yeah. triple
these
X.
Little aliens are having like a sex club that they go to every night, which is again they're the like jokes.
Alien rats.
Yeah they're disgusting looking, but it's so funny that they have all these little jokes that are just so good throughout the movie. But yeah, so they just keep following the trail to figure out what the light of Zaruth is called.
It's Zartha. It's
Zartha. I don't remember. Okay, look, it doesn't matter.
It does.
It's an alien thing.
It rhymes with Martha. You're acting like I'm asking you to say Boglodyte.
I would never say that because I don't even know what the fuck you just said to me.
It's hey, keep it PG-13. My mother is listening.
What no, the heck you said to me?
Thank you. You better watch your diddly darn mouth, Bozo.
Ew. Don't say that. Your diddly darn mouth.
That was my Ned Flanders impersonation from The Simpsons. Anyway, Boglodytes are actually aliens from Men in Black 3, like Boris the Animal. But anyway, so they have this whole little freaky thing. And I'm proud of Jay for just restricting himself because he just said, ooh, that's nasty. They go to the video store. This part is actually important. So there's this weird balding man in there who was actually in the
He was in the first morgue. One.
Yeah,
yeah, he was the morgue like attendant. Yeah.
And I watched this with one of my relatives who's now and forever going to be known as the bad person because I have to expose this. I'm watching it with this person and they're like, oh my God, it's Slow Donnie. And I was like, what? So on this show, Just Shoot Me, that guy plays the guy who's been pretending to be intellectually disabled for like 15 years. And like, he's a scammer.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of...
So they watch this scene and... from the show, the Unsolved Mystery show, like the episode that was playing at the beginning of the movie, and they're talking about the light of Zartha, and Kay starts having a flashback, and he's like, no, that's not what happened. It was raining, and they have this blonde woman wearing a retro futuristic outfit, like, and she looks so good. It was so pretty, but he's like, that's not what happened. Then they do the flashback in this movie, which I know you don't like flashbacks, but I feel like this was
no. This was an important one. This is different than what they normally do in like comic book movies, in particular. This one was actually an important one, and it fit what was going on. So this time,
because it was his memory.
This is how you need to do a flashback. Everybody, take notes. Go back to 2002.
Look at Tommy Lee Jones. But this woman, the funniest part about this to me, the whole scene and the setup, She was Asian. Princess Lorana was Asian. Like, they got this blonde woman, you know.
Yeah.
They got the blonde woman with the big titties and a retro futuristic outfit, like, which is just there to look sexy. But this woman was wearing a full cloak. She was Asian. It was raining. And the whole rain thing became significant later. Because I was like, well, I was like, why would he even remember that it was raining? And then it's like, this woman gets shot. And he's like, oh, I know where the light of Zartha is. So he's like, where's your friend? They left her at the Worm's apartment. And Jay told her, don't fall asleep. It was Laura. Like, he said, don't fall asleep here. And watch out for Neeble. Which one of y'all was Neeble?
And then they start playing, whenever they go back to it,
Twister.
They like flashback to it. And they're playing Twister together. And Laura is having a good old time with these worms. Like, she's having fun. Like,
oh, they're so flexible and they're so funny. Meanwhile, the worms are suspended from MIB from stealing for the duty free shop.
Yeah, and they live in like this really tiny, like, what would you even call that? Kind of like a condo, I guess, but it's so like short, so they all have to duck when they get in there.
It's like a penthouse apartment, but yes. Like the
it's funny.
Probably like the crawl space, like in somebody's apartment.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
You know how
that's
they have like tiny areas like for storage and stuff? It's probably one of those, but it was tricked out. They had a little hot tub in there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's probably exactly what it was. Nice though, it was nice for worms, like.
It was nice, real nice. And there was like four or five of them, you know, so they all probably got a really good deal on it. You know,
yeah,
they get
paid.
Yeah, you
don't rent that way.
Because, you know, Jay and Kaylee both live in nice places in New York, so.
It's New York, too. Even a crawl space is probably way more than it should be. So, yeah, you know, these worms.
42,000. 4,200.
It had a hot tub in there.
4,200 per day.
Per day. Plus the hot tub fee, you know. Because I lived on the top floor. So,
and electricity. $75 billion.
$75 billion.
But so they, you know, also Men in Black is under attack. The building is under attack. Serlina went in there, alien gooped up the place. She's like a big vine monster. I don't know. And
she's
she gathered
disgusting.
All of these, like, she is. And she gathered up all these villains who just don't like J&K. Because they put them in jail. One of them was a Balchinian. This happened at the beginning.
A Balchinian. Yes, that was like, because he tries to kick him in the nuts.
To kick him in the nuts. And he's like, Kay, he's a Balchinian. And he pulls down his scarf. And Tommy Lee Jones, this was part was ridiculous. Tommy Lee Jones jumped like 7 feet up in the air, like he's gently, and kicked him in the ball chin.
And this was purposely like terrible, you know, which makes it even funnier. So it was so good. This is 2002 graphics, y'all. Yeah, so it was good.
So they finally, they're like, they go on this chase through through New York. They get, oh, there's this guy named Jara who, like, they have to fight their way through the Men in Black headquarters to get a space or their regular car that is like operates as a spaceship in hyperspeed, which is really cool. There's like an automated white man who does the autopilot. And earlier in the movie, Kay is like, that comes standard. And he's like, nah, it came with a black man, but he kept getting pulled over. Like the jokes never stop. It never stopped
never
being
stopped.
Lighthearted and funny,
good.
Except for when it takes the time to be poignant and beautiful. And like the dramatic moments aren't like without a touch of levity. Like, It's like, even if things are sad now, they won't always be sad. You know, that's what Men in Black really gives you. And it gets to the end where we find out Laura is the light of Zartha. Like, he's like, where's the light? Because they spent the whole movie looking for it. Kay is like, oh, we need to get your friend. We need to go to this place that points at the Statue of Liberty or something. It was like a pizza-shaped random statue on top of a building. And... And then he's like, okay, I need you to get in this spacecraft. And she's like, I'm not an alien. I'm from New York. And he's like, you always seem to know when things are happening. And she's like, I'm a Libra. And he's like,
again,
whenever you get sad, it
one of those jokes that really fit in there too. Like, that caught me off guard, made me laugh. This is a serious moment that's happening. And she just comes out there, I'm a Libra.
And meanwhile, Jay is in the background fighting the crap out of Serlina, who is inhabiting this giant. Like, she's like a giant plant worm at the end. Jay is fighting
named
the crap
Jeff.
Out of her. Like,
his name was Jeff.
No, they killed Jeff. It was just Serlina at this point.
Serlina, the plant worm named Jeff. Not really named Jeff. Either way, yeah, whatever.
She like merged into Jeff. I don't know. She took Jeff over, killed him. R.I.P. Jeff. He didn't deserve that.
Yeah, no, maybe a little bit. Jeff was kind of a nuisance at the beginning
Jeff
of the movie.
Jeff was wilding out.
Yeah, he was having a good time. You know what? Respect.
It's in his nature.
Yeah, he's a giant worm. 600-foot long worm.
Ugh. And he was nasty looking too. He had like 70 mouths. Anyway, so she said, I'm a Libra. And then she's like, he's like, whenever you get sad, it always seems to be raining. And then she's like, a lot of people get sad when it rains. And he says, it rains because you're sad, baby. I was like, yeah. And then in the background, Jay is like, Laura, you have to go. You have to save your people. You have to save the planet. And so she gets in and she makes the saddest face like I've ever seen. It's like, I don't know. It's like so mild and sad and subtle. And it made me cry. And then it starts to rain.
As she flies off.
Yeah. And I was like, oh. And then, of course, J and K, they wild out. They shoot the mess out of Serena. They're like, pow, 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 pow. You know, they do the whole thing. And then at the end of the movie, you know, they're in the locker room and K starts trying to talk to Jay. He's like, okay, so you couldn't be with the girl. Like, they start trying to give him a pep talk. And then Zed comes in, RIP Rip Torn also, because he passed away in 2018. But Zed comes in. He starts trying to get a pep talk, too. But Zed being nasty.
He's trying to give him a sex talk, not a pep talk. You know?
No, it started out as a pep talk, but then it was, like, rehashing all of his, you know, old jaunts. He's like, ha, ha, ha. He hit us with that. And I was like, nasty? Stop. Canceled. And Jay is like, nah, I think I know enough. I'm good. And he, okay, done put them nasty rats in his locker. And then they have their little existential moment at the end, which I didn't mention. I don't remember which one happens in Men in Black 1, but at the end of Men in Black 2, Kay is like, he was like, oh, I think I know a little something about Secrets of the Universe. Kay opens this other random door and he's like, you don't even know what you don't know. And then you look out from the locker and it's like in another train station locker room. Like, it's like our world.
It's like an endless room kind of thing, you know? It's like just another huge space.
One room in this train station locker room. And they just do this at the end of the Men in Black movies to mess with us. But the important thing in Men in Black 2 that doesn't get discussed enough, Agent K's trauma. Because even though these things, he doesn't remember these things happening to him, they happen. Like, we learned from Agent L. I mean, well, I guess we could just call her Laurel because she's back. Dr. Laura Weaver, she's working at the morgue again. That even if you don't exactly remember something, there's an impression of it left behind on you. And it's like a big, like, I will talk about it more in a minute, like, international. But, like, all these terrible things happen to Kay. And, like, you wonder why he's so, like, surly and why he's so just like that. But, like, he never got to go back to his girl in the first one. Then he went back. Then they got divorced. He got swept up in Men in Black. You know, he wasn't ever trying to. And then he left. You know, he was unsettled and unhappy. Then all the things that happened in Men in Black 3, Queen Lorana, you know, because it was implied that he was in love with her. And then it's implied that Laura is his daughter.
Yeah.
And he not getting to raise his daughter. Like, all his old guard, they either quit or died. You know, and obviously Laura left again.
Yeah, there's a lot of implied unexplored trauma about Agent K is what they are telling you. And also the same thing, like you said, with Laura, they have that moment where Laura talks about all this deja vu and whatever, because she's been neuralized like a ton of times by now. So she still remembers things without remembering
Laurel,
them.
Laurel.
Yeah. Agent L, previously Agent L. Kind of sad she didn't come back though. Yeah, so that's what the whole thing is. So
that's Men in Black 1 and 2. They're really good.
Really good. Both of them are so good. Like, they already get a lot of credit, but it deserves more credit than it deserves, because
especially number 2, because like a lot of people really don't like this movie, and it really does shock me, because even though they're just constantly on the move going to go get something, like it allows Jay and Kay to kind of explore their partnership in a more equal role, because now Jay
is trained and he's been doing this.
He's the experienced agent, and Kay is the fish out of water.
And he still wants to be the boss because he's always been the boss. Even if he doesn't remember it, he still wants to be in charge, you know?
And then when he gets deneuralized, he acts a fool. When he gets out to the car and he's like, give me the keys. And he's like, no, you drove the old and busted joint. I drive the new hot.
But this song in Men in Black 2 is even better than the first one. And I don't care what anybody says. Will Smith comes out, he's just rapping, having a good time again. And what does he say? The new style, the black Ray-Bans, I'm a stunning man. I was like, bitch.
The thing about this that's so crazy is that the original Men in Black, like, the budget for the video was like $2. Like, the dancers are aliens. And that was where all the budget went. But nod your head. The budget for this music video is ridiculous.
Oh, it's so good. What does he say? There's a part where he's like, black man, black suits with a black attitude. And I was like,
I'm ready for you. He says, black suit, the black shades, black shoes, black tie with the black attitude.
Yes,
new style, like, black great bands. I'm stunning, man. New hotness, pitch black, 600, man. I was like, a period.
But he knew what again, he was doing.
And then here's the thing. It really is like James Bond. Like, he told us the whole plot with this song. He even says, it's this chick, right? Serlina, making me sick, right? Earth is worthless to her. She be tripping, like.
And then he says something even after that. Threatening me and my men. About how Kay's back. Yes.
Yeah, Kay's back. And he hyped, what? Bring it on? I was like. But the part that was so crazy in this word is like the wordplay Will Smith doesn't get enough credit for. When he's talking about Selena, he said, thinking she be Superwoman or Black Kryptonite. And I was like, what does Black Kryptonite do? And I took a little step back in a second, and Black Kryptonite splits people in half.
Yeah, and it makes like the evil version. Don't you remember?
But remember what she did? Yeah, I remember it small, but don't you remember what she did to Billy the Zark at the
pizza? Yeah, camp? Split him in half.
She split him in half. I was like, oh, period. Will. Oh, man. Willard. Mr. Will, I told Carol
y'all,
Smith.
Will can do this. Like, y'all don't give him enough credit for his rap game, because he's been doing this for minutes and he's good at it.
He just, see, and then it's like, there's no reason for these songs to be this good, because that was my issue with Men in Black 3. That's the only thing I don't like about the movie, is that Will Smith didn't come back. I just knew Will Smith was coming through with the heat, and then I heard Pitbull, and like, it's not a bad song. Like, you know, it's a cute little bop, but it is no Nod Your Head.
No, this one was my favorite one out of all of them. I mean, I haven't seen the newest one, but I assume it's not as good, because you can't top this. This wordplay was too good.
They didn't have no song.
It doesn't?
It doesn't have a song. Like, the whole fun part of the... It's not the whole fun part. The movies are funny. But, like, you know, part of it is that you know the song. You get in... They play, they roll the song over the credits. You be like, excuse me, baby. Yeah, you, baby. You know, like, that was Pitbull. But... You know,
it's a part of the experience, you know? Yes, I know. But oh man, Men in Black 1 and 2, some of the best comic book movies ever.
Period. Oh, also, just how it is. Said the song is called Nod Your Head. It's actually called Black Suits Come in parentheses, Nod Your Head.
Ah, you were close enough.
But so are we done? Is that all we needed to say?
Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, wait.
With the most important thing. We left out the big thing. What is your big thing?
I had two big things. One, when he fights the last alien before they get in the car, Jara, he's like, oh, I'll be 1 minute, baby, talking to Laura. And then he's like, whips off his cloak and there's like five of him. And he's like, oh, that'll be 2 minutes. That fight actually is around 2 minutes. And then the Statue of Liberty thing, because that's what I was going to say.
Oh, I was going to say the celebrity cameos in the second one were so good. Because we had Cannon, Rosario Dawson. Well, she's not a cameo.
Ms. Marquee.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's in there. Martha Stewart was in there. Do you remember that? She just showed up.
Yes.
To be there. Oh, it's so good. They had some.
When MIB was getting taken over. Also, the product placement. Like, we found out Men in Black has a duty. They have a duty-free shop, which we saw. It's towards the entrance. Then they have a Sprint store and a Burger King and various other things.
Yes. It's so good. They invented liposuction, which is what you'd figure out in the first one. It's ridiculous.
And also, so after... Like at the end of the movie, when Kay's got all his memories back, and you know, they just killed Serlina, they sent Laura off to Zartha to assume her duties as the light of Zartha, you know, as their princess or queen or whatever. He's like, how are we gonna disguise this? Everybody just saw us, you know, fly through New York. You know, we had a big spaceship fight, there were alien worms, and then Kay is like, oh, put your glasses on. And he pulls out a button from his suit. And the Statue of Liberty is a neuralizer. It's a giant neuralizer.
Legendary, honestly. Honestly.
Legends only.
I'm going to say, though, these movies both are 10 out of 10, and nobody's changing my opinion on this, like, and ever.
Let's go with my catchphrase. If you have a problem with that, you can argue with your mammy about it, because nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Exactly. Argue with your diddly darn mommy about that. Not with us.
Are you darn tootin'?
Darn tootin'.
And I guess that's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Yes. So thanks, everybody, for all your support, all your continued support. We will see you in the new year. It's already the new year, but, you know, whatever. Next week,
we'll
see
you for the
rest
of it.
Yeah. You'll be joining us all next year, all 2020. two, whatever.
Oh my god.
What year is it? I don't know. Next week we're going to be ending this adventure of Men in Black 3 and then Men in Black International. So I'm really excited because, like I said, I haven't seen Men in Black International. I'm super excited for this.
Well, at least, you know, I might have my doubts about the quality of the movie, but Chris Hemsworth is really hot in it.
And Tessa Thompson.
Yes, they were killing it. And, Emma Thompson is in the movie, too.
Who?
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson? Oh, I didn't know that. All I knew was Tessa, because, you know, they're like,
she's in Men in Black 3, and she has the same, she keeps the same role.
Good for her. Emma Thompson, I love Emma. Oh, that's just another reason to be excited. I feel like she would be, like, the head person. What is it called? Of MIB?
She is.
Really? Oh, man, I just guessed that. She just seems like that kind of person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Men in Black 3. Well, we'll discuss it next week.
Yeah.
So all that aside, we're available on all major streaming platforms. And if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us on social media. You can email us, leave a voicemail at 650-761-2629, or join our Discord. And remember, you are not alone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.